You can open your Bibles, first of all, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read two verses there, Matthew 5, 21 and 22. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. And then if you would turn one other reference, Exodus 20, and we want to look at one verse, verse number 13. Exodus 20, verse 13. Very short verse. Thou shalt not kill. Now, let me just give a little bit of an explanation when you think about the word kill. I want you to understand that in this translation, the English translation, it says kill, but you would find in the original language, both the Hebrew and the Greek, it would be referring to murder. There is a difference there. It was referring to murder. The title of this message today is simply this, the love of life. The reason we picked that is because of what we recognize at this time of year every year. It is absolutely horrible and horrific what has transpired in America concerning the murder of unborn children. It is very sad. What is going on in the world today, as I look at what is going on and some of the things that we are forced to endure in this great nation, founded upon the principles and standards of the Word of God, it breaks my heart. Who would ever have thought when I was in high school that if you would come to school, you would have the choice to decide for yourself whether you would be referred to as a he or a she? I take notice there's no laughing about that, because believe it or not, if it has not happened in schools yet, they are actually trying to push through that the children can determine what they want to be referred to throughout the coming school year by marking down what preference they have. That's sad. That's sad. We need to pray for our nation more than ever. We need to pray for one another more than ever. Well, now I say this with tongue in cheek, and I'm sure you'll understand that, but you probably don't get the urge to murder too often. You say, what you just get done saying? God isn't pleased with murder. Well, I have to confess that sometimes, even though the thought might be just for a half a second, it happens sometimes on the interstate. Can we say any more? We'll just let it go at that. Joking, of course, because this is being taped, but you know what I mean? Sometimes we get annoyed, but I don't think we would ever murder somebody over things as trivial as that. But you know, you may not realize how much violence has been programmed into us, into all of us. Did you know that by the time the average child reaches the sixth grade, what would that make him? Maybe 11, 12 years of age, he has already witnessed, and this number is probably low today, he has already witnessed over 8,000 murders. You say, well, where? On television, movies, what they're allowed to watch, video games, you name it. In America, every 22 minutes, someone is shot, stabbed, beaten, or strangled to death. Now, if you would allow me to just get off track a little bit here, it's interesting where the largest number of shootings seem to be hidden from us is areas where it has been declared unlawful to own or carry a weapon. All I can say to that is, duh. The citizen who obeys laws will properly purchase their guns the way that they should, and they will take care of them that they don't get into hands of the children or other people who have not been trained to use them. You can make all the laws you want to, but a thief and a murderer, somebody who wants to have something, they're going to find a way to get it and use it in the wrong way. I'm not going to go into a lot of details, but in some of the areas where they allow people to carry weapons after they have been trained on how to use them, you don't hear a lot about shootings, bypass shootings. They drive by and they shoot someone, and then they accidentally shoot a little girl or a grandma or a grandpa who gets in the way. You don't hear about it. We have the highest homicide rate in the world. In the United States of America, more children die from violence than they do from sickness. Those are sad statistics in the United States of America. Now, Jesus takes this commandment that we read in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. He kind of takes that to a different level. He takes it to the level where he is actually applying it to the heart. He's applying it to the heart. 1 John 3:15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Sin comes out of where? Comes out of the heart of man. That's where it comes. It comes out of the heart of man. The first murder that was recorded was in a family. Who was it? Cain killed Abel. Why? Because of jealousy, which led to anger, which led to murder. First record of a murder in the scriptures, which people want to say it just filled with myth and lies and fairy tales. No. It's very accurate on the history that it presents to us in his word. Amen? Very accurate. More accurate than what we sometimes get in textbooks in our schools. Notice the progression here, if you would. Follow with me now. I hope I may make this clear. But follow the progression that Jesus gives in that passage. Matthew 5, 21 to 22. Emotional anger, outburst. It says raca. Well, you say, well, what does that mean, raca? R-A-C-C-A. It means empty one, empty-headed. Means foolish. Means to hate. It even is a way that people used to say, you fool. Then it move along there and it indicates murder. And then it says in danger of the fires of hell. I don't think I have to tell you this. You all realize it. But you realize how powerful emotions are? Emotions are very powerful. And they can make you say and do certain things that are not really very wise. They can stir up trouble in ourselves and in others. You ever notice how much children follow the example of parents? They do. Or how one friend can influence another friend? That can very easily be done. This situation down at our Capitol, that was so sad. Now they're talking about other trouble that we might have to worry about that might begin this Monday, where actually we're hearing from news and government officials that it might be people who arm themselves and try to storm our state capitals. Well, it would be very sad. But you know what's even sadder about that? I'm sorry to say this. I hope that that is not true. But I don't know, and I do not trust anymore what the government tells me. And I have lost all trust in the news media and what they tell me. That's sad. That's sad. So, but do you realize the problems that creates through that statement that who knows where it comes from? Do you realize what that does to businesses and companies that now have to be on the alert in case that does happen? The people that are in charge of security at some of the big hospitals and other office buildings, whether it's true or not, and we certainly hope it isn't, or it doesn't transpire, they have to be on guard to make sure that doesn't happen. And I look at the pictures of that incident at the Capitol, and then I also get a little unnerved at who they try to blame for that. The person they try to blame really had no control over what people do. And what I can understand from what he said certainly should not have been an indication that he was promoting that. And then the sad part of all of it is to realize that in this modern technology of ours, we can bring up things that were said that really were meant to stir up people, to do damage and to injure and hurt people. And those people are the ones who are trying to put the blame on somebody who did not say what they said, he said. Do you know anger can be contagious? It can be contagious. I think of Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. It says this, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Now, a lot of people have asked me in the past, preacher, why don't I see you at some of these here peaceful gatherings to protest? And in the past, I've always said, well, mainly because I don't know what the two people on the left of me and the three people on the right of me are going to do to cause things to be out of hand and not be peaceful anymore. And you know, when they put that on the news that this broke into a riot, guess whose picture could appear on the news along with the other two to the left and the other three to the right? Voila! And that's sad too, because I know some of you have participated in marches and peaceful demonstrations. But before I do that, I'd want to make sure I know who's there and who's in charge. Because people are strange and emotions can run high, and we need to be careful. The sixth commandment, which we read, Exodus 20, verse 13, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. I believe that has been misunderstood. Or can we say misinterpreted? So I want to cover two broad areas today, two points to the outline today. Here's your two points you want to keep outlined. Number one is what I want to do today to cover two broad areas. What this command does not mean. And number two, what this command does mean. Simple. So don't have any trouble with that. Let's start off. Number one, what this commandment does not mean. It does not prohibit killing animals or bugs. You say, well, now, why are you saying that? Did you ever hear of organizations that think we shouldn't eat meat and it's terrible the way we, you know, kill and butcher animals to eat, which God, of course, says it's all right. I just thought I'd throw that out. You know, God doesn't contradict himself. We just read that scripture, and some will hop right on that to use it to fit into their agenda, and they'll use it and misinterpret the scripture. That's why we said it's so important to interpret scripture in the correct way. But God doesn't contradict himself when they say, see that? We shouldn't kill animals and we shouldn't kill insects. God says we should not kill. Remember, we said God doesn't contradict himself. The scripture fits perfectly together. And when you see the whole picture, it's wonderful and beautiful. I refer you to Genesis 9, verse 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Now, if you don't know what that means, meat for you, that means you can eat a steak and a pork chop and a Wendy's hamburger, if it's meat. Who knows nowadays? Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. God's words. You don't have to be a vegetarian. We always used to laugh at my mother. My mother said she was a vegetarian. She really didn't know what a true vegetarian was. But she would claim that she was because somebody, when she was little, said they were having chicken for dinner. I never could get the whole story. And by the time she got up into her 70s and 80s, the story changed so much we didn't know what to believe. But somebody, when they were eating chicken one day, said something horrible about the chicken. I said, okay, well, Mom, what did they say? Oh, I can't talk about it. And so she would not eat what she said was meat. Now, she would eat fish. She loved haddock. And she would eat cheese and all that stuff, you know, but boy, don't bring her a hamburger or a piece of chicken. We used to try to trick her. Boy, that never worked either. I don't know what it was, but we never could trick her. So it's okay to eat animals for meat. Jesus ate fish and I believe other meat that he ate also. He was often invited to homes of people where he would sit down and he would eat. The next thing, first of all, we said that it does not prohibit killing animals or insects. It does not prohibit capital punishment. Does not prohibit capital punishment. Leviticus 24 says, anyone who commits murder shall be put to death. The principle is a life for a life. And you know, when I was a kid growing up, you didn't read as much about murder and drive-by shootings as you do now, because if you were found guilty of murder, if I remember as a kid, now this might have changed maybe when I got closer to high school, But you were going to, I think in Pennsylvania, they still use the electric chair. And that's what you faced. That's what you faced. A life for a life. You found guilty. That's what happened to you. You would die. You would die. And I believe God has delegated that authority to the government. All the courthouses used to have the Ten Commandments prominently displayed in their buildings. You remember this incident years and years ago about the judge? Was it Georgia? It's one of the southern states where they were fighting to keep the Ten Commandments. Eventually he lost, and they were very proud to show how they were in the process of tearing down the statue of the Ten Commandments. How we doing, America? How we doing? God desires swift judgment. Our appeals court system has made a mockery of this. When President William McKinley was assassinated, his assassin was caught, convicted, and executed 53 days later. He won't kill again. Ted Bundy was in jail 11 years before he was finally executed. What a difference. What a difference. Some say that capital punishment really doesn't work. It doesn't deter criminals. I beg to differ with you on that. I lived through the years when capital punishment was used throughout the United States of America. Go back and check the records and compare how many murders are now committed compared to then. Somebody who is brought to justice in a proper way and is guilty won't kill again. By the way, I didn't check out this statistic, but I trust that this could be true. There's always, remember, differences in how long people serve. But they tell me the average life sentence now, life sentence, turns into about 8 years. You're saying, oh, wait a minute, now that couldn't be right. Well, no, wait a minute. Do you know that some wicked, 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 evil men now have learned how to use what we call law to beat it? If they have somebody that they need to be bumped off or killed, they recruit our teens or preteens to do the job and pay them quite handsomely. And what does a teenager who thinks they know everything but really doesn't know much, they start to get money, they start to get all this good stuff, and now they start to brag about what they did. Oops, now they get caught. But the so-called laws on our book won't allow them to be tried as an adult. And they end up spending so many years until they reach a certain age, and then they're let loose. Sad. Sad. It does not prohibit going to war. We have veterans here. Ecclesiastes 3:8. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. The United States of America is the only nation I know of. Whenever they went to war and they would destroy countrysides, towns, cities, when it was all over and we beat them bad, we would go in, give them money or help them to rebuild what we just blew up in order to win the war. Now, anybody can tell me I'm wrong on that? Huh? That's exactly what we did. It is right to defend ourselves, to preserve freedom for ourselves and our children. Here's a quote. I forgot to jot down who said it. If you know who it is, you tell me afterwards. All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Let me say it again. All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. We ought to be thankful each and every day for the men and women who serve in the military. We should be thankful. Now, let's get to our second part here real quickly. What this commandment does mean. What it does mean. Life is precious. Ooh, where'd that picture come from? My goodness, I think I recognize them three girls. That's my three, you ready for this? Great grandchildren. And I am so young, but there they are. But life is precious. We are created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Oh my goodness. Let me read that again. Did you catch that? God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You know how many other genders there are? None. I think I want to make sure this one is on the internet, okay? That's where the sanctity of life comes from. That's why we remember this day, how blessed and precious life is. Where did we came across something, I showed that to you, about a baby that was, how much did that baby weigh? Half a pound. Baby was half a pound. And the baby's not going to make it. Never make it. But they've nursed that baby along, and the baby survived. Grew up. God is smarter than man. Let's start listening to him instead of man. And I think we'll turn out a whole lot better. It separates us from the animals. Evolution doesn't. But the Bible does. I'm sorry, I didn't come from a monkey. No, I'm not sorry. I didn't come from a monkey. We must treat human life with respect and dignity. Now, here's what the commandment means. Ready? God says no to suicide. God says no to suicide. Suicide is the number two killer among college students. Number three among high school students. People say, it's my life and I have a right to take it. No, you don't. Bible says you are not your own, you are bought with a price. You belong to God. Job 14:5. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Who do we have up there? We didn't get him up here yet, did we? Okay, he's coming, okay. Another thing, God says no to mercy killings, euthanasia. There's my buddy. I've known him 46, 47 years. He's gone now. It's interesting how he passed. I shared this with some of you. Maybe I did last Sunday and all of you were here already. But here's a man who can't walk around anymore. That picture, by the way, was taken. You see that big smile on his face? That was taken at the Soda Jerk. Oh, he was at the Soda Jerk all the time. And I'd be with him from time to time. And I got a call that his roommate had gotten COVID. So his roommate was taken out of the room, and it was weeks since that happened. And then he told me one day when I tried to talk to him on the phone every day, or at least a couple times a week. And he told me one day, he said, I got the vaccine today. I said, oh, okay. A couple days later, I got a call from the home. No, from him. He called me from the room. He said, they put me in isolation. I have COVID. He didn't sound good. A couple days after the vaccination. I'm not saying anything except it was a couple days after the vaccination. And then I got a call the other day. He's gone. Passed away. But they came to him. You say, well, why are you telling us that story about God says no to mercy killing? Well, there are some countries, by the way, where now if you are too old and you even add, I'm too old, I want to die, they'll kill you. Do you remember, what's his name? That doctor went to trial, spent a couple years in jail. I don't know if he croaked now or not. Oh, Kevorkian. He was trying to promote that. He didn't do it. He just set the machine up and all you had to do is push a button and something go in your veins and kill you. That's euthanasia. I really botched that up. But there's countries around the world that's legal. That's not God's way. God knows when your time is up. I don't necessarily, may not like the way I'm going to check out of here, but God knows all about it when it's going to happen, and he knows how. I got to let that to him. Not some man walking around with a needle looking who he can put out of their misery. God has you here for a reason. He had Stu there for a reason. Stu had some wonderful conversation with a nice man down there that's a chaplain. I met him. Nice guy. Stu and him would have a lot of talks about the Bible because Stu loved the Word of God. Yeah, sometimes I'd go in there, he would be sitting reading his devotional book or the Bible. Loved the Lord. But the Lord knew his time. They came to him and said, Stu, we think if we take you to the Hershey Hospital where they can give you antibiotics, probably they could help you more than we can here. He says, can we have the ambulance come and pick you up? No. I'm ready. Just let me go. I remember he went to the doctor one time. I used to take him. He'd go to the doctor, guy down in Steelton, and doctor wanted him to do something one time, and doctor said to him, now, Stu, if you don't listen to me, you're going to end up dead. And Stu, with a big smile on his face, just like he had there, said to the doctor, don't threaten me with meeting Jesus. Now he beat me. He beat me there, and he beat all of us there. And I'm sure he's got that bigger smile than that on his face. but it was God's time. Killing someone because of old age or deformity or incurable disease is not right. Now, I'm not talking about having a living will where you choose not to be kept alive artificially. I don't want that, and I got a living will. And my wife, she's around and I don't know what's going on, she can let him know. He don't want that. Don Page, they called Kathy. He said, what should we do? She knew her husband. She said, let him go. And thank God they did. And his with Jesus too. Job 12, 9 and 10. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, in whose hands is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Euthanasia, that's a slippery slope. Who determines when another person should not live? Only God has that right. Hitler decided for 4 million people. God says no to abortion. God says no to abortion. I don't care what the laws on record show. God says no to abortion. Psalm 139, let's turn to it, please. Just about done. Let's look at verses 13 through 16. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Powerful words, isn't it? Powerful words. Do you know that 26% of all pregnancies in America end in abortion? That's 1 out of 4. Could even be higher. Charles Swindell, a pastor, writer, he wrote this. Let me read it to you. Medical authorities determine a person to be alive if there is either a detectable heartbeat or brainwave activity. With that in mind, it is eye-opening for some to realize that unborn children have detectable heartbeats at 18 days. That's 2.5 weeks. After conception, and detectable brainwave activity 40 days after conception, which would be 5.5 weeks, what is so shocking is that essentially all abortions occur after the 7th week of pregnancy. I don't think I'm wrong on this. If I am, then I will stand corrected when you show me that what I say is not so. I believe within a couple of days, we will have a president and a vice president of the United States of America, if I'm still around when they are taking the oath of office, and if I'm around any length of time, I will pray for them as I have for past presidents. But do you realize that they have no problem if a child is aborted hours before delivery. Think about that. Think about that. In 1994, the featured speaker at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C., was a very small and fragile woman. Now, I know she was not a Baptist, but what she said was accurate. She was surrounded at that time by a president by the name of Bill Clinton. His wife, Hillary, was also present, and other government officials. And with a very steady voice of certainty, Mother Teresa declared this: "I feel that the greatest destroyer of peace in the world today is abortion. It is direct war against the child, a direct killing of an innocent child. Any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use violence to get what they want. By abortion, the mother does not learn to love, but kills even her own child to solve her problems. And by abortion, the father is told that he does not have to take any responsibility at all for the child he has brought into the world. That father is likely to put another woman into the same trouble. So abortion just leads to more abortion." End of quote. Almost ready to close, but I just had one thought come to my mind. You know how it is when you're going through different technology things and things pop up. You didn't ask for it, but there it is. And it's designed headlines to get your attention. Well, this one headline came up about this movie star. I'm not going to say who it is, but he's worth millions of dollars. And it says, so-and-so has this many children to this many women. And he wasn't married to any of them, but maybe one. Will Chamberlain, some of you don't even know who he was. Will Chamberlain was a basketball star. He would brag to people that in his lifetime, he knew 10,000 women. And people around him would laugh and snicker. Let's wrap this up. What if you have killed someone? What if you have aborted a child? Hated one so much that you are in danger of the fires of hell? What can be done? Can God forgive? Yes. Don't ever forget that. No matter what you have done, God can forgive. God can forgive. That's one of the reasons that we support this organization, a Capital Area Pregnancy Center. They deal with a lot of women who have gone through abortions that need help and need to know that Jesus forgives. Because he does. And they also help women when they are thinking of abortion to give them alternatives. Do you realize how many people, I don't have the statistics out there, that would love to adopt a child? They would love to adopt a child. And that's what Planned Capital Area Pregnancy Center helps and is involved in. That's why we've supported them, not only the 18 years I've been here, but years before. Do you know that much of the Bible was written by was written by murderers? What? Yeah. That God forgave. Only a preacher thinks up these things, I guess, but they're true. Moses, what did he do? David, Paul, I believe he also was instrumental not only persecuting the Christians, but making sure they got put to death. They were all murderers, forgiven by God. Maybe you've been on the other end of violence and you feel warranted to carry hatred for the one that hurt you. And the hurt can be deep. You can be eaten up with anger and bitterness, or you can forgive the same way that God forgives. And he's the only one that can help you do that. Amen? A sermon like this, you're not expected to hear a lot of amens or hallelujahs because it's some somber thoughts. But I think more than ever in the United States of America in 2021, we need to have some somber thoughts. We need to take action where we can take action. We are left here for a reason. That main reason is to reach other people with the salvation message. But it's also, we are left here for a reason. You're here for a reason in the United States of America instead of another country. We still have freedoms to express ourselves in a peaceful manner and let our requests be made known on demand too, not only unto God. And let people know when they're traveling down a wrong path that will continue to lead us to disaster instead of success. And we need to do just that too. Are you glad you're saved today? I am. I am. And I'm so glad that one day God's going to call me home to be with him for eternity. And I hope when I see him, and that's going to be exciting, now he will be able to say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I hope and pray the same for all of you. But we're here, so let's keep busy serving him and allowing him to use us to make changes in the place that he has put us in this world. Amen? Let's pray.